Praise the Lord, church. We're gonna try this again. I think the Lord's gonna let me preach tonight, if that's okay. Tonight, it's still day. It's not Tuesday, it's Sunday. But I think the Lord's gonna allow me to preach today. If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Ephesians. And we're gonna be in Ephesians chapter 3. We're gonna start in verse 8. But before we start that, I just wanna we've been giving honor to Brother Doug today, and you know, I didn't have the privilege of knowing him very long, but I did have the honor of knowing him. And one thing that has touched me was the Tuesday he was up here preaching. And you know, even if he was tired, even if he had very little energy in his body, he was able to muster up all the energy that he had, and he brought the word of the Lord to this church one last time. And as a preacher, as a young minister, that lit a fire under me. And I feel like that should light a fire under the rest of our ministers in this church, to know that no matter what you're going through, we may have been struggling the week leading up to what the Lord is having us provide for his people, that we can still provide that word. No matter what energy we have, we need to muster up that energy and that courage and that strength to bring the word. And I'm thankful for Brother Doug teaching me that. I give honor to our pastor and to my wife and my family. And I'm thankful for this church. I give you all honor today. But yeah, we're going to be in the book of Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 8. And we're going to read through verse 21. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 8, says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Everybody say working. "According to the power that is working in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." For the next few moments, I would like to attempt to do justice for the word that the Lord has given me. He changed it up. He didn't want me to preach the message I had prepared last week, so we got a new one. And it's funny because this topic, we've heard this word quite a few times today. And this topic is the power within us. The power within us. There's a power that is at work in the world today. Let me tell you, I'm tired of hearing about mass shootings. I'm tired of hearing and seeing all that garbage that comes across on that citizen app that most of us have. There are wars and weather phenomena happening all over the world, and people are dying without the knowledge of Jesus Christ. There is a power that is rampant in the world, but there is another power, a greater power. Last week, we had that powerful move of God, and I briefly talked about there's no one like Jesus. And that God that there is no one like, he is alive and his power is working in us all. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. God, we come before you, Lord. We thank you for this move we've already felt in this place today. We thank you for this presence that is in this place today, God. Lord, right now I ask that you open the hearts and the minds of your people, Lord. Lord, give them your power today. Let them hear the word from these lips that you want your people to hear, Lord. Not my words, but your words, Lord. Lord, we love you today. We give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In your precious, mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated, and the musicians may go down. The power within us. The power within us. It is my sincere belief that besides our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and besides those disciples that walked beside him and worked with him, apart from these men, I believe that the Apostle Paul had a very keen understanding of the power of God. I believe that Paul knew what it meant to have the power of God at work in his life. You see, Paul started out under a different name. His name was Saul. And I know that a lot of us know this story, but there are some in here that might not know it, so I'm just going to give a quick recap of Saul and then Paul's life. Saul, we learn in the book of Acts, was one who studied at the feet of Gamaliel, who was one of the doctors of the law. And that law was the Mosaic law. And by that, we mean the law that was given unto the people of Israel. Saul was very zealous as it pertained to the law of God. Saul was so zealous that when we read about the first century church in the book of Acts, we find Saul on the scene chasing early saints out of their household churches. You see, back then, they didn't have the luxury of this building that we have today, but the way the church worked was that they would open up their houses and they would have church. It was like a real community. They went from house to house having church. And Saul was so zealous that he would go to these houses and he wouldn't even knock. He would just kick in the door, drag the people out, and put them in prison because he felt that they were disobeying the law. We read about Saul after the message that was preached by the apostle Stephen in Acts chapter 7 and then in later in verse 8. Stephen is there and he's about to be stoned by these men of the law. And scripture tells us that Saul is there and he's standing on the sidelines holding the cloaks of these men who were doing the stoning. And so Saul was consenting to the death of Stephen. In Acts chapter 9, we read about Saul. He's in the middle of the road about to do another mission of destruction against the church of the living God. And as the Lord had it in his own time in eternity, he would decide to call Saul. And as he calls Saul, he gives a heads up to one of his saints whose name was Ananias. He said, look, I have a man that you're going to be a minister of comfort to. I want you to take him into your house. And Ananias is like, of course, I'm down for your cause, God. Of course I'll do it. What's his name? And God's like, well, it's funny you should ask. His name is Saul. You know, the one from Tarsus. And Ananias is like, not that one, God. Not that one. It's funny. It's like he's talking to God as if God didn't know already. Don't you know what he's doing to the people? And God's like, oh, I know exactly what he's doing, and that's why I'm choosing him. Because I'm getting ready to demonstrate my great power in his life. Church, I want to take just a second to tell you that if you believe you are beyond the reach of God's Holy Spirit, I want you to perish that thought right now. In this room, there are testimonies of Sauls who had nothing to do with God, and he met you right where you were at. He saved you miraculously, wondrously, and here you are today still. Our God is a keeper. Our God is a keeper. So now he's walking down the Damascus Road, and he gets knocked out by this blinding light, and he gets his call to ministry. We fast forward, and instead of zealously going into the house churches, now he's the one joining them. And there's some in the crew that are like, isn't that Saul? Like, he must be spying on us or something, right? Like that's why he's in this church meeting today. He's got to be spying on us. But no, God had miraculously changed him, filled him with the Holy Ghost, and he began preaching his word. Now, he also began to suffer on a different level. But if there's one thing I know about the church, it's this: that our suffering is not for our destruction. I know it feels like destruction when we're in the midst of it. I know it feels like we're being punished, but suffering to the true child of God is not for our destruction. In fact, it is the way, more often than not, that he uses it to promote us to a deeper and a higher level in him. And can I say this too? There are some things about God that you will never learn unless you go through a little patch of a trial. Unless you go through a little something. You see, there are those, pardon my language, charlatans, if you will, to be nice, or hucksters who would like to peddle this Christianity that says every day will be a sunny day. That every day there'll be money in your bank account. Every day the transmission in your car will never slip. Every day your children will be obedient. Help me, Jesus. They peddle this manufactured Christianity that resembles nothing like Christ Jesus preached and taught. They peddle this easy believism. If you sow $1,000 into, listen to this, my ministry, and not the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will receive a tenfold blessing, but be sure to postmark it by the 28th of January, because if you don't, you'll have to wait till late in February to get it. Because apparently God can't operate in his own time, in his own will. But that's not what God ordained for us. In fact, when he was hanging on the cross, he did not die for our happiness. I'm going to say that again because that might confuse some people. He did not die for our happiness. He didn't die to make sure that everything would be all lemon drops and gumdrops. But when he did die, it was to make us more like himself. So Christ Jesus, our God, he put on flesh. He came and he did not occupy the thrones of this earth, because those thrones could not measure to his throne, but he took the lowly road. He suffered, and so here we are today. He suffered, and so here we are today. There are only certain things about God that you got to go through to learn about him. So when you have a certain loss, you now learn experientially and not through knowledge that God is a provider. You have the experience, not just the knowledge, that God is a provider. And when you go through a little sickness or sometimes a major illness and it's like God pulls you back from the brink of death, you have a testimony that God is a healer. You're down to your last dime, and you've been faithful to the kingdom. You've been giving, and it seems like every time you give, there's holes in your bag. And then out of the blue, there's a blessing. And you'll learn how he's a deliverer, he's a healer, he's a keeper, all through the suffering. Now, if I'm messing with your theology today, I trust that Pastor John will correct it. But let me say this, I think we give the devil too much credit. I believe we give the devil too much credit. Oh, he's on my back and I'm not feeling well and he's oppressing me and he's got me down in the dumps. The devil is, he's just on me. But why is it that the adversary of our souls would want to push us to a place of reliance on God? To push us to a place where we go deeper in him. To push us to a place where we fast more. To push us to a place where we pray more. Why would he do that? Why? Why would he do that? Never forget the sovereignty of your God. Never forget he's the one that holds us up. He's the one that sustains us. He's the one who keeps us when we are in the trial. It was a psalmist who said, "It was good for me to be afflicted, for therein I learned thy ways. I learned thy statutes." We are talking about power. Power doesn't come by coddling the saints. Power doesn't come by sleeping on sleep number beds. And power doesn't come by having a soft cushion to lay on every day. Power truly comes when you rely on the power of the Holy Ghost. When you begin to look to Jesus and not to yourself or to this world. When you look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher. In other words, that word finisher could be translated this way. Who is the author and the perfecter of your faith. So we find now Paul, we fast forward some years, and Paul has been preaching the gospel all over that area of the world, which was called Asia Minor. He's preaching the gospel. He's reaching all these unreached lands like never before. This Paul became the apostle to the Gentiles. Yes, he always had a heart for the Jews, his people, but he began to launch out into Gentile nations. And in reaching out to the Gentile nations, he reaches out to the people of Ephesus. And now the book of Ephesians, the epistle that's written to the church of Ephesus, Ephesians is what's known as one of the prison epistles. It's one of the prison epistles. In other words, he was writing this letter from prison. He was incarcerated. And why was Paul incarcerated? He was incarcerated because he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That sounds like lemon drops and gumdrops, right? Ephesus was the capital of proconsular Asia, which is now located in modern-day Turkey. That's where modern-day Turkey is located. And for a period of over 1,000 years, the Ephesians were steeped in idolatrous worship. It was in Ephesus where we read in the book of Acts, when Paul was there preaching to them, they stirred up a confusion and they began to proclaim, "Great is Diana." You see, Diana, who is also known as Artemis, was the female goddess of Ephesus. Ephesus was so steeped in idolatry, they bowed themselves to Diana or Artemis. In fact, the Temple of Artemis is one of the 7 wonders of the ancient world. That's Ephesus. What happened was there was a temple that they had erected for Diana worship, and it burned down in a fire. And after that temple burned down, they decided to build an even larger temple. And that was a temple that was recognized as one of the 7 wonders of the ancient world. Diana, or Artemis, was so intertwined in the lives of every Ephesian, so much so that Artemis worship influenced both the economy and politics of that culture. We find the silversmith saying that this is how we get our very living, by making shrines and statues to Artemis and selling them so people can have them in their homes. This is how they fed their children. This is how they supported families, because of Artemis worship. And here comes this young upstart from Tarsus, coming in no other power but in the power of God. He said, "Brothers and sisters, when I came to you, my preaching was not with enticing words or with men's wisdom, but it was simply in the demonstration of the Spirit and in power." That's what this world needs today. This world needs a powerful church, a church that is not afraid to be countercultural, a church that when the world is saying yes, we're saying no, a countercultural church, a powerful church. So now Paul, endued with the power of the Holy Ghost, begins to preach the gospel to the people at Ephesus. And the word tells us in the book of Acts chapter 19 that the word of God grew mightily. Everybody say mightily. The word of God grew mightily. Not Paul's personal ministry, but the word of God. It grew mightily. The Lord was adding to the church. Not just on a Sunday, but daily. This is the church that the world needs right now today. So what is this power that I'm talking to us about today? The power that I'm talking to you about is none other than that of the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost. Now, you have to understand this. In the Greek language, they were so expressive that they had so many words to connotate the idea of power. So, for example, there was a certain type of power, like political power. This was one type of power. But then there was the power of the Holy Ghost, which was different to that. And by the way, even more powerful than political power. I say that deliberately because no matter what laws they pass in Indianapolis or in DC, God is still in control. Whether blue or red, he is still in control. Democrat, Republican, he is still in control. The power that we were talking about in our text is a Greek word, dunamis. Dunamis. It means strength, ability. It speaks about inherent power. Power residing inside of a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. In fact, that word dunamis is the word where we get our English word dynamic. Or how about this one, where we also get dynamite. So when we understand through a word study here that the power of the Holy Ghost is not merely some sort of latent power, it's not dormant, but it's actively at work, not just in the church, but in all of the saints, from the pastor down to the Sunday school child. Power, dynamic power, or in other words, explosive power. That's why it's not unusual for us to come into the presence of the Lord like we did this morning, and there's just this Holy Ghost bomb that explodes, and you just have to dance it out. You just have to run it out. I don't care if I look funny. I'll make laps around this church and need oxygen later, but that's okay, because the Holy Ghost sets off a bomb in here, and that's why we do what we do. It just explodes, and he sets it off, and power is just leaking all over the place. That's why the true church of God is not a dead church. It's not a dead church. In fact, when I read about heaven, I hear that there's a lot of noise up there. I hear that there's a 24-hour party going on. Praise and worship to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Brother Doug is up there right now with no cane and no pain, and he's dancing, and he's worshiping, and he's praising. And that's what we're going to do one day, walking on the streets of gold. Hallelujah. Let me say this real quick, and all those around my age, you'll understand me when I say this. Church is the bomb. Church is the bomb because there's explosive power working in the church. There's explosive power working within us. You see, after the bomb explodes, what usually follows is fire. On the day of Pentecost, explosive power began to come down. It exploded upon them. They were cloven tongues like as of fire. If there's no fire in a church, I don't want to be there. If there's no fire in a church, don't let the lost go there. It's not going to help them. It's not going to help them. If there's no fire in a church, I don't want to be there. When I come here, when I come to this place, I don't come to impress anybody. I don't come here to look cute or anything like that. I come here to catch on fire. I come here to be set ablaze like a firebrand in the hand of the Lord. Set me ablaze. Work in me, Holy Ghost. Is there anybody in here today that wants to be on fire for God? Come on, somebody. Is there anybody in here that wants to be on fire for God? Do you have power today? Do you have power today? Is it working in you? Is it alive in you? Send it on down, Lord. Send it on down, Lord. Let the Holy Ghost come on down. Send it on down, Lord. Set a fire in this place today. Set it on down. Pentecostal fire is falling. Let the fire fall on us today. Let the fire fall on us. Let the bomb of the Holy Ghost be triggered today. Let it fall on us. Let the fire fall. Breaking Bread Apostolic Church, we ought to be an epicenter of explosion in our communities. We ought to be an epicenter of explosion in Whiteland, in New Whiteland, in Greenwood, in Franklin, Indianapolis, Beech Grove, Southport. That when the people are in their homes, they'll say, did you just feel that tremor? Did you just feel the earth move a little bit? Did you just feel that? Where the people of the God are brought together, it ought to be an epicenter of explosion, exploding in our communities. I think someone needs to give him some praise today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Very quickly, I want to make 3 points and then I'll be done. The first point I want to make is this. The power, the dunamis, the explosive power, the bomb, that power that's working in us, the first thing we must understand is that the power belongs to God. The power belongs to God. It belongs to God. It doesn't belong to a political party. It doesn't belong to any ruler on the earth. It belongs to God. For example, Matthew 6, verse 13, we read this. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power, the dunamis, and the glory forever. Amen. It belongs to God. We'll consider 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power, the dunamis of God. See, that was the problem with Elymas, the sorcerer that we read about in Acts. He saw the apostles doing the work of the Holy Ghost, and because the Lord was not his God, but mammon and filthy lucre. Money was his idol. I think we see a lot of that in today's society. Money was his idol. He said to the apostles, that power that you're using, healing the sick, touching these lives, I want to buy this power from you. I want to buy this power from you. Poor Elymas, the sorcerer, did not know that the power was not theirs to buy or to sell. The power belongs to God. And after hearing that, he still refused to bow to the word that they preached, and it got so bad that he had to be cursed. You can't buy this power. You can't bribe God. I don't care if you're Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos. There's no amount of money in the world. I don't care what Forbes says about the richest man in the world. It belongs to God. It belongs to God. Furthermore, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Not just 1,000 cattle on a hill, but the cattle on 1,000 hills. You see, that's the problem with modern society. Humanism is taking over and has made man the God and not God. The ascent of man retains no knowledge of God in their lives, but the power belongs to God. And Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the dunamis, it is the explosive power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek." Everybody say, the power belongs to the Lord. The power belongs to the Lord. My second point, the power is that of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." As I said it before, 1 Corinthians 2, 4, and 5, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5, "For our gospel came not to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." The power is that of the Holy Ghost. The power belongs to God, and the power is in the Holy Ghost. And lastly, the power is active. The power is active. It is working in us. It is active in the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 21 says this, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." Everybody say working. That word working right there is taken from the Greek word energio. Energio. It's where we get our English word energy. Energy. So the power of the Holy Ghost is energizing power. It is energizing power. In other words, it brings us from death to life. It brings us from death to life. It's a quickening power. We have a power that is working in us. It is at work actively. Church, I don't believe in a dormant Holy Ghost. It's way too powerful. What could be too powerful is you're allowing the flesh to be at work in your life, which is why it's necessary for us to pray, which is why it's necessary for us to fast, which is why it's necessary for us to afflict the flesh, so that the explosive, working, active power in us could help us live and walk right. Stand with me all over this house today as the musicians come. Church, there is an active and a working power within you. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the dunamis, to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Church, this is a power to help us become witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you cannot know Christ Jesus and the fullness of his glory without being energized by his power, the Holy Ghost. You have to experience it. You can't just have knowledge about it. There are a lot of churches that teach about the Holy Ghost, but they do not experience the Holy Ghost. They teach about it. They have knowledge about it, but they don't experience the Holy Ghost. The power to witness, the power to live holy, the power to overcome temptation. Young people of the church, you don't have to stumble. There is a power at work within you. Husband, you don't have to cheat. Wife, you don't have to step out. There is a power at work within you. Maybe you have stumbled and you are living in fear that there is no way that you can come back to God. This is one of the most successful lies of the enemy that has caused so many to walk away from the church. I can't come back from this. I don't think God can forgive me after what I've done. I remind you today, church, that love covers a multitude of sins. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That's the spirit that we have. So anytime the adversary starts to come and whisper in your ear, you don't even need to entertain it. Instead, all you need to do is speak the word. That's what Jesus did. You hear that you'll never amount to anything in the kingdom of God? No, I have the power. No, I have the power. You'll never make it as a man of God. Your father, your grandfather, and your great-grandfather were alcoholics. No, I've got the power. I've got the power. I've got the power of the living God. It is resident in me. It is working in me. It is energizing me. I've got the power to walk right. I've got the power to talk right. I've got the power. The power is within us. So these altars today are open for anybody that would like a taste of explosive power. Someone who needs something to ignite in your spirit to bring you close to him. He is here right now. There is an abundant supply of dynamite. There is an abundant supply of dunamis. He's just calling us to tap into it. Tap into the power. God can use you for his glory. You are not too far gone. His power is greater. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. These altars are open. If you want to leave the world behind you and tap into the power of the Holy Ghost, would you come today?